You ever get tired of waiting for God to answer your prayers and you want to stop praying? Well, don't. And we're going to talk about why you shouldn't on this episode of The Gary Zimak Show. Hey there, come on in. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. I will be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you will be as well. It's a beautiful night here in New Jersey. I've got the windows open, so you might hear some of the sounds from the outside drifting in. I always like it when I do these programs that I get emails saying, hey, I heard those birds, or I heard something or another. You know, it's really cool. I think a lot of times you're more observant than I am, but it's really nice to be able to do this show with the windows open. It's such a beautiful day. Not typical August weather. This is really nice. We have a great show today. We're going to talk about a powerful concept. And I teased it at the beginning of the show. Did you ever get tired of asking the Lord for a certain intention, whatever it may be, and you get to the point where you want to stop praying, or maybe you have stopped praying in the past? Well, I want to encourage you that whatever you do, don't stop praying. It's not a good idea. Today is the memorial of Saint Monica. We'll talk a little bit more about her as we go through the program, but today, what I'm going to do is look at what they call the proper mass readings for the memorial of Saint Monica. What happens is when there's a memorial for a saint, the priest celebrating daily mass has the option of either using the traditional readings. Today would have been the Wednesday or the Thursday of the 21st week in ordinary time, or he can use the proper readings, which are designated for the saint. Essentially, they're the alternate readings. But when I was at daily mass today, that's exactly what the priest did. And I'm going to tell you, these readings were so good that they blew me away. And I thought we're going to spend the entire program talking about this because they are jam-packed with words to live by. So that's what we're going to do, talk a little bit about St. Monica, who she was, and look at the readings in detail, because I think they are going to really help us. Now, I want to also remind you that we are a week away from the unofficial beginning of total consecration preparation, which will kick off unofficially on September the 3rd. The 33-day preparation period, the official period, will begin on September the 4th, which is next Friday. But on the 3rd, a week from today, I'm going to dedicate a show to letting you know what's going to be happening, what lies ahead in the 33 days to come. Because really, once we get into it, we'll talk about, in theory, what's going on with total consecration. I'll give you a lot of meditations from Father Gately's book, but I won't have the time to really lay out, here's what we'll do in the next few weeks. I'll work some of that in, but I wanted a whole show to talk about that. So I hope you'll be here next Thursday, a week from today, as we unofficially kick off the preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, which will conclude on October the 7th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. We'll do our total consecration. So we have 33 days to prepare, to meditate, to get in the proper frame of mind, and really get to the point where we understand what we'll be committing to. And that'll take place on October the 7th. All right, if you've never done it before, I want you to relax. I want you to hang in there. Remember that even if, well, first of all, you can quit at any time. Second of all, you can go all the way through the 33-day preparation period. You're going to get some good meditations. You're going to hear about some great saints. You're going to learn about the Blessed Mother. It really is beneficial. You can get all through the period and then decide that total consecration isn't right for you, and you could put off making your total consecration. So you can do that. Or the third thing to keep in mind is even if you do the entire total consecration and you commit to it on the 7th of October after going through the 33 days, you could still rescind it simply by an act of the will. In other words, Lord, I don't think this is right for me. There's no sin involved. You're not locking yourself into anything. And I always like to point that out because you may get a little nervous. I was a little nervous the first time I did it. Looking back now, and this is the fourth year in a row that I'm renewing mine, I see the benefits, and I would never, ever think about not renewing it because I'm so in love with the Blessed Mother, and I see her, the results, the fruit of her intercession in my life. It's just so powerful. But I always like to make sure you understand that you're not signing your life away, even though you really are. I mean, that sounds funny, but you really are committing to this for life, but you can at any time you want revoke it. And once you see her begin to work behind the scenes in your life, you're going to be amazed at just how close you're being drawn to Jesus. That's the ultimate goal of total consecration. It's to draw you closer to Jesus Christ. If you're like me, you look at your life and you think, man, I should be able to do a lot better in my relationship with Christ. Here's your answer. This is an officially approved devotion, approved by the church, endorsed by numerous popes. St. John Paul II was a huge fan of this devotion. You're going to see some of the saints that we discuss in the 33-day book itself. St. John Paul II is one of them. Blessed Mother Teresa is another. St. Maximilian Kolbe is another. And, of course, St. Louis de Montfort was the person who popularized this devotion. His devotion is, or his making this devotion known or popular really had a tremendous influence on the church. But he always says he did not create it, but he popularized it. Anyway, that's coming up soon. Make sure you get your name on the email mailing list in case I need to get in touch with you. I am not going to spam you. I'm not going to share your email address with anyone. I just need the email addresses so I can know how many of us are participating this year, and also in case I want to send out an email along the way. The way you would do that is go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and just click on the 33 Days to Morning Glory, or I think it's a total consecration image. Click on that. That'll take you to the right place. You'll see a little box that asks you for your email address. That's all you have to do. Very important, once you submit your email address, you're going to get an email back. It will come from me, Gary Zimak. It's an automated email. Make sure you open that up and click on the link inside, and that's going to show Vertical Response, which is my email service. It's going to show them that you're a real person. They want to make sure that you really do want to sign up for this. If you can't find the email that comes to you in return, make sure you check your spam folder. And you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com if you still can't find it, and we can take care of it that way. But just make sure you do that. You complete the sign-up process. Otherwise, you won't be officially on the email list, okay? Again, any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's see what kind of news we have. Let's see. No real big news that I can think of. Wow. I must be a boring person. I can't think of any big news, but, oh, I know. I do want to mention this. I've been getting a lot of requests over the past couple weeks about speaking at parishes and conferences. If you want to bring me to your parish, especially if you'd like to do it in Advent of 2015 or Lent of 2016, I urge you to do it soon, because I do still have some openings, but people seem very interested. I think people woke up after the summer, and I'm getting a lot of contact about speaking. And I would love to speak at your church too. So please just let me know. You can either visit the website, followingthetruth.com, take a look at my speaking topics, and contact me through the website, or you can email me directly at that email address that you know so well by now, because I mentioned it 50 times per show, gary@followingthetruth.com. All right. And I really would love to come to your parish, wherever you may be located. I travel around the country. I've been to Canada. I'll go where I need to go to spread the good news. So don't think that it's too far. If you want to bring me in, we'll work something out. Okay, you just let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Beverage du jour time. Here we go. Okay. That's good. Got a nice hot cup of coffee. See, it's a bit of a cooler day today, and the coffee fits in nicely. It's Donut Shop coffee. Not Mystic Monk, but it's Donut Shop. Very good, nonetheless. I hope your beverage is good, whatever you have, your snack. I hope you're relaxed. Hope you're ready to talk about some good things. So without further ado, let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to have another day. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your unconditional love. We're very grateful that you love us so much, that you're always available. We look around us. We look at creation. We look at the world. We look at the universe. And we thank you as we stand in awe of your work. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for allowing him to redeem us, to die on the cross, to to rise from the dead, so that the gates of heaven could once again be opened for us. We ask you to bless us, to bless those around us, to be with all of those who are struggling tonight, especially those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair. Please also be with those who are dealing with financial issues, as well as those who are under duress from religious persecution, and those who are experiencing extreme weather conditions as well. Father, we ask you to be with them and help them, allow them to feel your peace, even in the midst of whatever struggles that they may be going through. I ask you, Father, to take over this radio show from me. I ask you to speak through me today. Grant me the ability to step aside and let you proclaim your message using my lips and my voice. And please open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your message. Father, we ask today for the grace to persevere in prayer. So many times we get frustrated and we want to stop praying, but we know that's not a good thing. Saint Monica shows us through her example the importance of continuing to pray, even if it appears as if our prayers are not bearing fruit. So please grant us that grace to continue to do that. Father, we present to you our own personal needs, intentions, things that keep us distracted, things that keep our mind off of you. We give them to you now. We ask you to help us with them. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Monica, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. If you're a new listener to the show, I'm so glad to have you here, and I hope you could just make yourself comfortable. I hope you'll come back after tonight. Hope you'll sign up for Total Consecration, which begins a week from today. Got lots of good things coming on with the program. We're now in our fifth year of broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for your listenership. And really cool to be able to talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church every night. For 30 minutes around the table, we hang out, we talk, we chat, we share a cup of coffee or whatever beverage you want, and we talk about some good things. St. Monica, today is the feast, or technically the memorial, of St. Monica. She was born in Africa in 331, and for decades, she prayed and suffered for her son, St. Augustine's, conversion. And she never ceased to believe in the power of grace to move someone. She is the patroness of married women and a model for Christian mothers. So, and she died in 387. Eventually, we know the story. St. Augustine became baptized. He became a convert. He converted to Catholicism. He was baptized, became a priest, became a bishop, and now he's a doctor of the church, one of the greatest teachers that we've ever had in the history of the church. His feast day is tomorrow, so we'll talk more about Augustine tomorrow. But if you maybe have a child, you're a mother, you have a child who is struggling, and you're just about to give up, use this example to remind yourself not to give up. The Lord doesn't give up on anybody. Look at St. Augustine. He was a complete mess. He was doing all kinds of things that would have easily sent him to hell had he not turned his life around. The prayers of his mother made a difference. Even if it doesn't feel like these prayers are effective, I don't want you to quit. The Lord doesn't want us to stop praying. So we ask St. Monica to continue to intercede for us and to help us to realize the value of prayer. Now, I mentioned that we're going to look at what they call the proper readings for today's Mass, which are readings that are specifically chosen for the saint of the day. So these readings relate to St. Monica. They are really, really good. Let's look at them. Now, the first reading comes from the book of Sirach, chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. Blessed the husband of a good wife. Twice lengthened are his days. A worthy wife brings joy to her husband. Peaceful and full in his life. A peaceful and full is his life. A good wife is a generous gift bestowed upon him who fears the Lord. Be he rich or poor, his heart is content, and a smile is ever on his face. A gracious wife delights her husband. Her thoughtfulness puts flesh on his bones. A gift from the Lord is her governed speech, and her firm virtue is of surpassing worth. Choicest of blessings is a modest wife. Priceless, her chaste soul. A holy and decent woman adds grace upon grace. Indeed, no price is worthy of her temperate soul. Like the sun rising in the Lord's heavens, the beauty of a virtuous wife is the radiance of her home. I'm telling you, that is a good first reading, isn't it? I am blessed to have a wonderful wife. My wife Eileen, I love her. She's my best friend, and she is one of the holiest people that I've ever met. She has helped me so much. She's such a great mother to the kids. She is just the heart of the home. Eileen is a great gift, and I'm blessed to have her as my wife. This first reading just talks about the value, the blessing of not just a virtuous person, which is good, but a virtuous wife. We live in a world that constantly seems to put down the vocation of motherhood. We live in a fast-paced world, and we hear a lot of emphasis being placed on success. Not that success is necessarily a bad thing, not that hard work is a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But we've forgotten the importance of mothers just being mothers. I'm grateful for the job that my wife does with our kids, being their mother. And I want to call attention to all the mothers out there. Anybody who's listening who does this, it's a hard job. You deserve a lot of credit. You're doing the Lord's work. Don't let the world fool you into thinking it's unimportant. When we look at what a mother does best, a mother cares about her children, and a mother's going to do anything possible to protect her children, to provide for their needs, both materially and spiritually. When we look at our Heavenly Mother, the Blessed Mother, she is just that. She's our Heavenly Mother. She is going to provide for our spiritual needs. What is the greatest spiritual gift that she can give us? The gift of heaven. So Mary is going to do whatever she can to get you and I to heaven. In spite of the fact that we might be sinners, we might not be doing a really good job, but Mary's going to help us because Mary cares about us. When we make total consecration, there I go with total consecration again, but I just have to mention it because it just fits so nicely. We give Mary permission to turn us into saints. That's what Father Gately says in his book. That's what we're doing. We're giving her the permission to turn us into saints. And as our Heavenly Mother, she's going to know what we need, even if we might not know what we need. Turn to the Blessed Mother and continue to ask her. Even before we start the official 33-day period, ask her to help you. Ask her to help you to get to heaven, because that's what she does. And if you're a mom, I want to thank you for the work that you do. I want to thank you for doing something that I can't ever imagine doing, because I didn't have to give birth. So it's something that I can't even imagine. But we look at what Saint Monica did. More important than anything she did physically for Augustine was the fact that she never stopped praying for him for decades. She didn't give up on him. Don't give up, not only on your children, but don't give up on any of your prayer requests. Until the Lord comes back with a no, you keep on praying if you feel that you're praying for something good. Don't become discouraged. A lot of times he lets you go along for years and years and years because he either wants to test you to help your faith to grow, or he knows that you're going to forget about him once you get what he wants to give you. So keep that in mind. Keep going. Be persistent in prayer. The responsorial psalm chosen for this day is one of my favorites, Psalm 131. The response, "In you, O Lord, I have found my peace." This psalm is all about trusting in the Lord and his providence like a little child. Even if things might not appear to make sense to you, have that trust to know God knows what he's doing. Listen to this. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty. I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. Nay, rather, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child. Like a weaned child on its mother's lap, so is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Isn't that a great psalm? It's Psalm 131. I strongly recommend that you bookmark that or highlight it in your Bible. This is one that I have found myself reading often when things in my life happen that I can't understand, which is just about every day, right? There's things that are happening I can't understand. They don't seem to make sense to me. And my heart begins to become a little unsettled. You know the feeling? Things are happening in your life that you're not really thrilled with. And you start to find yourself becoming a little anxious, right? What one of the best things that you can do, one of the best things that you can do is just place yourself in the Lord's presence and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I know you love me. I know you want what's best for me. So I'm going to trust you like a little child. That is the way that we experience peace. But more importantly, that's the way that we get to heaven. Take note of this psalm, Psalm 131. Spend some time with it. Whenever you feel anxious, just sit with your Bible and let the Lord speak to you through these words. You're going to find yourself becoming a lot more peaceful. Now, the gospel today is from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted. And he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and he began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." The report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. Now, there are so many things that jump out at me when I read this story. Jesus, first of all, he had a large crowd, and his disciples were with him. As he drew near to the gate, a man who had died was being carried out. Now, in your life, you're going to have these intentions you're praying for, and you start to think after a long point of time, depending, it could be years. And I talk to people who have been praying for a particular intention, maybe a loved one to come back to church, or some sort of a resolution in a relationship, or a child who has become addicted to drugs, or so many different things, praying for a future spouse. These things could go on for years. And I know that I've had things. I mean, we talk about the gift of a wife. I prayed for a spouse for many years. And I didn't get married until I was 35. It didn't look like it was going to happen, but I kept praying because I really wanted to be married. And the Lord really did bless me. Good thing I kept praying. This is the reminder for us. It's never too late. Now, if somebody dies, you're praying for the physical healing of a person. Generally, when somebody dies, the Lord, more often than not, with very few exceptions, is not going to raise the person from the dead. So I would recommend, if you're praying for the healing of somebody and they die, you can shift your direction a little bit. You know, these examples in the Bible, some of them exist to really get our attention. It doesn't mean God always works in this way. More often than not, he doesn't. If you're praying for somebody's physical healing, they die, well, then assume that God answered your prayer in a different way. You know, and of course, yes, the person could always rise from the dead, but more often than not, that's not going to happen. Be willing to accept however it is that the Lord answers for an intention. But whatever you do, don't stop praying until he comes back with a definite no. So this illustrates to us, I mean, it's a pretty extreme example, that this guy's dead. This illustrates the power of Christ. It doesn't mean he can't physically raise someone from the dead who has died. We're all going to rise one day anyway. But ordinarily, he doesn't raise somebody who has died, at least not immediately, right? This guy is the only son of his mother. She was a widow, which means back in the day, there would be nobody to take care of her. She would not be able to survive without the support of her son. He was working. The widow would not be able to work and earn a living. So she was going to have to resort to being a beggar. She could have had a very difficult life. So she was doubly sad because of the fact that her son died and because of the fact that she had no one to take care of her. What happened? The Lord saw her and was moved with pity. This is what you need to take note of. The Lord sees our problems. He sees what we go through, and he gets it. He takes pity for us. Remember that Jesus is fully divine. He's God, but he's also human, which means he can feel things. He can feel emotions just like you can. The Lord looks at us sometimes, and he thinks, wow, I feel sorry for that knucklehead, right? I mean, let's be honest here. We do some pretty dumb things, and the Lord does feel sorry for us. And oftentimes we're suffering. I'm sure you may have suffering in your life. We all have some degree of suffering. You might have some very serious suffering. I meet a lot of people who are suffering greatly. The Lord has compassion. He understands. He feels your pain, and he wants to help you. And it's hard for him to watch you suffer. The Lord doesn't like to see us suffer. The Lord knows what's best for us, and sometimes he has to send suffering into our lives, but he doesn't like to see the pain that it causes, if you can see the difference. So what did the Lord do? The Lord acted upon this. He stepped forward, touched the coffin, the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." Dead man sat up, and he began to speak. Do you ever wonder what he said? Can you imagine what he said? Can you imagine the people starting to freak out as this guy sits up in the coffin? He began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Wow. Fear seized them all. Yeah, I can see why. And they glorified God. So first they were afraid, and then they gave glory to God because they recognized that they just saw a miracle. This is the kind of power that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ possesses. This isn't just a story. This really happened. Okay, this isn't a parable. This is an event in the life of Christ. So when you're praying to the Lord for something, you are praying to the Lord who raised this man from the dead. Think about that. Look at this story. Remember, Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Read this over tonight again. Luke 7, 11 through 17. Read it over and take comfort in the fact that Jesus is all-powerful. We see the parallel between this story and the story of St. Augustine and St. Monica. St. Monica was very concerned about the life that Augustine was leading. She didn't want him to go to hell, and she prayed for him. And eventually, he saw the light, the prayers were answered, and the Lord gave him back to his mother in a spiritual sense. Beautiful story. The moral of the story is, whatever you do, don't stop praying. Don't lose heart. Continue to read Bible passages like this to keep your strength up. Don't give up. The Lord is all-powerful, and he can fix anything, and I mean anything, that's broken in your life. Just trust that he knows what he's doing, and when it doesn't make sense, look at Psalm 131 and ask for the ability to trust him more, because he really does love you, and he really does care about what happens to you, okay? Now, weren't they some good readings? I'm glad I did that today. Tomorrow, we'll do our week-ending doubleheader. We'll look at The Power of Kindness from the book by Father Lawrence Lovasik. And we'll also look at the Mass readings from Sunday's Mass. So I hope you'll be able to join me. God willing, I plan to be here. I'll save a seat at the table for you. Just bring your beverage, your snack, and get ready to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ for 30 minutes. Remember, total consecration. If you're not signed up, visit followingthetruth.com. Sign up today. If you want to invite me to your parish, you can do that as well at followingthetruth.com. And if you want to donate financially to keep my program on the air and to help my full-time ministry, and believe me, I need your financial help, you can do that also at followingthetruth.com by going to the donate tab, and that would really, really help me. God bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. Take care.